All right, welcome to Black Hawk Church. My name is Chris. I'm one of the pastors on the teaching team here at Black Hawk Church. Welcome those of you with me in this room at the Brader Way site, those of you who are watching online and screens in different places, so it's good to be with you. Today's message is the third and last in a mini-series that we're doing on generosity, and we're calling this series, In God We Trust. When I put this series together, I wanted to also write a little booklet, and so we're making this booklet available to everyone, and there's one here at Brader Way at the registration desk and at the other sites at the information desk, so you can pick up this booklet, one per household if it's possible. The folks who printed this out told me to tell you that it's like an academic book, but it's not really that academic. It just doesn't have any pictures in it and stuff like that. So it's like 30 pages, and many of the things that we have said in the series, some of the things I'll say today are in here, but there are a lot of other things. The booklet is about generosity for Christ followers, and I felt for a long time that we just needed to have something that was kind of, that would just stay around. Some people learn better also by reading, so I just make this available so it's free for you today. So I want to be clear as to, and kind of upfront with you about what I'm going to do today, because, you know, I'm the senior pastor here, and I'm going to talk about generosity, and I just want to be clear about where we're going so you don't feel uneasy or anything like that. Generosity is primarily about our hearts. It's primarily not about money. It's primarily about our hearts. When our hearts become generous, then we liberally and freely give of our time and our talents and our resources. So it's about our hearts. People with generous hearts are liberal people. They give freely. They don't keep count. They just give and give. They give their time, talents, and resources. That being said, I today am going to talk about our resources. And specifically, I'm going to be talking about giving to Black Hawk Church. So I'm going to use three different verses to kind of center on my talk. Here are the three verses from Acts 20:35, remembering the words of the Lord Jesus himself. It's more blessed to give than to receive. The second verse I'm going to look at is 2 Corinthians 8:9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich. And 2 Corinthians 9:7 reads, each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Then at the end of the message, I'm not going to make an appeal for resources or funds. I'm not going to do that. So I'm just letting you know up front where I'm going kind of in the message, just so that we kind of, there, that's what I'm going to do today. Because I know talking about generosity can be a tough topic to listen to. Now, some of you are first-time guests. Some of you have brought first-time guests, and you're saying to yourself, I wish I hadn't brought them on this day. So there you go. So if you're a first-time guest, you're wondering, gosh, does he do this kind of thing all the time? So I would suggest to you, if you're thinking that, after the service, talk to someone around you and ask if I do this very often. I can tell you that I don't, but if I were you, I wouldn't trust me. So there you go. So I know there's all kinds of animosity and stuff that's present. So just ask somebody else. Does he do that kind of thing all the time? And before we go on, I want to talk a little bit about an elephant in the room, and that is this. I'm going to talk about you giving generously to Black Hawk Church, and I stand to benefit from that. I receive a salary from Black Hawk Church, so there you go. That's a conflict of interest, okay? So that's an elephant that's in the room. So when you give, the staff receives a salary from that, and then I'm part of the staff here. So just kind of be honest with you about that. And I know many of us look at Black Hawk Church, and we said it's like a mega church. You know, if you're at the Brader Way site, you kind of come in, and we get the whole thing about walking in the atrium. It's like an airport. Oh my gosh, this church has got lots of money, and why don't you know? There's a lot of poor people in the world. I should give my resources to help the poor, not like this, you know, wealthy church. Why should I be wasteful of my resources to give to this mega church? That kind of thing. So I totally understand that sentiment, and especially in this community, there is a bit of an animosity towards mega churches. I didn't need to find this out through graffiti, but when we built the building, this was some graffiti that someone in our community put on our building. Give to the poor, you wasteful servants. So that's that desecration there of our building didn't make the builders very happy. And but that person, whoever that was expressing a sentiment that this is a mega church, so you guys should give to the poor, not build this monstrosity of a building, that kind of thing. They weren't thinking about the potential of millions of dollars that a large organization like ours can actually release into the poor in our community and globally, but that was the sentiment. Also, I know that there's an animosity towards the senior leader, and I am the senior pastor of this mega church. And so people instantly think, well, he's like big millionaire, you know, that kind of thing. So, well, okay, I get that. So when the building was being built, we would occasionally on Fridays have pizza delivered, and like hundreds of pizzas would get here because there's all kinds of people that were building this facility. Pizza would be delivered, and then I would come over, and, you know, I'd just be dressed in jeans and stuff, and then I would take the boxes of pizza, and I would go around the different floors and stuff and serve the workers. And so after a while, the workers thought that I was the pizza guy. Awesome. So you get to hear, you know, that's quite cool. So you get kind of the inside scoop about what the workers were thinking about as they were building the facility. And they were telling me that, yeah, this is like a mega church. And, you know, the guy who's running this is like a big millionaire and stuff like that. I'm thinking, oh, really? You know? You know, here's another piece of pizza, you know, that kind of thing. Tell me more, you know? And so, yeah, we're building this parsonage right across the street. I said, like, what? And so then they pointed to this building right here. And that's the Bayer Insurance building. But it was being built right at the same time. Didn't have Bayer Insurance at the top of it. But they said, yeah, this is where the senior pastor's going to live. This is the parsonage. He's going to have a pool there and everything like that. So I said, well, I hope I get invited to his house. You know, that kind of thing. So then I said, you know, I just kind of unveiled. I say, I'm actually the senior pastor, and I do live in the neighborhood, but I don't live in that house. I live kind of in a normal house and stuff. But I get the fact that because I'm who I am and the building is what it is, that there is a suspicion. And I totally get that. I would be suspicious too, honestly. So there you go. So that's one of the elephants in the room. I benefit when you give generously. And so does all the other staff. But there's another elephant in the room. One elephant has to do with me. Another elephant has to do with some of you. Here's that elephant. According to our data, 1 out of 5 households gives 0 to Black Hawk Church. 1 out of 5 gives 0. I'm not talking about $10 or $100 or something. I'm talking about 0. So look down the row. 1 out of 5 households give 0. I don't understand that, actually. I mean, if you're benefiting from being fed spiritually here at Black Hawk, and I'm not talking about seekers, I'm not talking about first-time visitors or visitors, I'm talking about regular attenders and members who are part of our database. I don't understand that. So there you go. I'm just being honest. Just being honest with you. Some say, well, I volunteer. Well, volunteering doesn't pay for the heat that you're experiencing right now. And it doesn't pay for the water. It doesn't pay for the mortgage. It doesn't pay for the rental at the Majestic Theater downtown or the rental of the junior high school that we're in Fitchburg. 1 out of 5. So I've just made maybe 20% of you mad right now. And I just wanted to be honest. There are some elephants in the room, and I just was kind of naming them. So let's have an agreement right now. I'm not going to appeal at the end of the message for you to be generous towards Black Hawk Church. And if you don't give a dime to Black Hawk Church, do not start today. Don't start today. Because you may be giving out of guilt. Guilt, as any preacher can tell you, is a powerful motivator, but it's a poor motivator. And God does not want us to give out of guilt. He wants us to give joyfully and freely out of a generous heart because we thought seriously about the gospel. So if you don't give a dime, don't start today. If you do start today, I'm concerned that it might be something I've said and guilt and stuff like that. So just go home, watch television, you'll forget all about it. However, if it is the Holy Spirit working in your heart, that conviction will last, and it'll last longer than a day. So that's where I'm going. I want to be honest with you guys. Let me start us with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for an ability to come to you about a topic like resources and money. Your son said money can be like a god to us. He also said that we can't serve that God and you at the same time. And we live in a world where money is so much a part of all of the things that we think about. It can have a grip on our minds and our hearts and our souls. And I pray, Father, that your Spirit would free us from that grip so that we could become people that are more like you and more like your Son by the power of the Holy Spirit. We pray these things in Christ's name. And for his sake, all God's people said, amen. All right, the first passage I put up on the screen was the passage from the book of Acts. Paul is traveling, and Luke is recording a speech that Paul gives to the elders in Ephesus. And as he closes his speech to his elders, he says this, "In everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak, remembering the words of the Lord Jesus himself. It is more blessed to give than to receive." That's a very famous verse. It's more blessed to give than to receive, according to Jesus. In other words, Jesus is saying, giving is good for us. Giving is good for us. So that's kind of opposite of the way we think. Obviously, as a speaker trying to motivate people, you would think, well, giving is good for us, the church, Blackhawk, so I want you to give. But this passage is actually saying, actually giving, the act of giving is good for you. When you give, it's good for you to give. So that's exactly the opposite way in which the world thinks. The world doesn't think that way at all. The world thinks it's more blessed to get than to give. It's more blessed to hold on to things. So in our world, at least in the United States and America, people are not generous. People grab onto things and they hold onto them and they don't want to let go. In their book, The Paradox of Generosity, Kristen Smith and Hillary Davidson write this. Nearly half of all Americans, 44.8%, give away not $1 by their own admission. This book is written by sociologists, published by Oxford University Press. It's not a Christian book. It's a sociological text. It's filled with all kinds of research and data. And quite simply, Americans, by their own admission, don't give money away. They have this chart on page 103. Give zeros, the top 44.8%. Give less than 2% of the income, 41.3%. So if you add those two together, it comes something like 86%. So the idea that America is filled with generous people, not according to sociologists, that's not what the data reveals. There's a lot of generosity in America, but it's generated by a very small group of people in actuality. You would think that the more money we make, then the more generous we'll be. Again, research data after research data shows that's not the case at all. Here's another chart, page 103. So the far left-hand side, $12,499 and less, you can see the proportion of their income, 2.2%. And as the income increases, the percentage goes down. In fact, 1.1%, $90,000 and above. There you go, right there. You think, oh, well, you make more money. You release money. Well, that's not actually what the data says, actually. They write, It stands to reason that the more money people make, the greater the percentage of it they should be able to give away without cutting too much into their own basic needs and wants. But this is not the case. Making more money in America is not associated with giving money more generously. Earning a higher income in the U.S., in other words, does not translate into giving larger proportions of that income away. This is a well-established fact confirmed by many previous studies. They go on to say, in short, a quite small group of Americans give away the vast majority of the money that is donated in voluntary financial giving in the United States. Stated differently, while some Americans seem to be quite generous with their financial resources, the vast majority contribute very, very little to the overall giving that takes place in the United States. In other words, we're following the philosopher Homer Simpson. We are grabbing on, we hold on, and we don't let go. Sociologists are also telling us that what Jesus actually said is true, that people who do give away money flourish. It's more blessed to give than to receive. Now, we shouldn't have sociologists like prove the point to us, and so that makes sense. I mean, Jesus says it, but it's interesting that the data backs that up. Elizabeth Dunn is a professor of psychology at the University of British Columbia in Vancouver. She decided to do a little research project herself, and so she gave some of her students some money. She told one group to keep the money and another group to then give it away freely. And through a series of tests and everything, she discovered that the students who gave the money away were happier in all kinds of kind of indexes than the people who kept the money. Well, then she started poking holes in her own research, and she thought, well, perhaps it's because Vancouver is an upper-class city and a wealthy country like Canada, and I gave them the money. So what if they gave their own money away? So she ran another test like that. Give me your own money away, not the money the professor gives you. Again, she found the same thing to be true, that the ones who gave money away flourished, the ones who kept it didn't flourish. So then she continued to poke holes, and she thought, well, perhaps it's because we're in an affluent country like Canada. What about in countries like Uganda and South Africa? If people gave their own money away, even if they didn't have money to give. And she, again, found in those countries that were substantially more poor than Canada, the people who gave their own money away flourished versus those who kept their own money. She wrote, as recorded in Wall Street Journal, the fact that we were able to observe the same effect that we'd seen in Canada in places like South Africa and Uganda was probably the biggest surprise of my career. A lot of us think we'll give to charity one day when we're richer, but actually we see the benefits of giving even among people who are struggling to meet their own basic needs. She wrote about some of these findings and other things in a book called Happy Money that's co-authored by Michael Norton, who's a professor in the business school at Harvard. And this book recently published is all about this idea. You were told that money doesn't make you happy. That's not true, they say. Money can make you happy. It depends on what you do with it. If you release money freely, it will help you to flourish in your life. Again, we shouldn't need someone from the business school at Harvard to tell us this. Jesus told us this a long time ago. It's more blessed to give than to receive. Well, the reason we should give is not primarily because it benefits us. The core reason we should give is because when we give, we're mirroring our God. We are following Christ. In other words, giving is an effect of understanding the gospel. And that's the second verse put on the screen from 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. Paul is writing to the Corinthian church. He's actually appealing for resources that he will collect and then take to a church in Jerusalem that is suffering. He's been talking in this passage about that they would grow in the grace of giving. And then he says this, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich." So he's restating here the gospel. For you know that God is a giving God. Why should you give to the people who are suffering in Jerusalem? Well, you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he's saying. Though he was rich, yet for your sakes became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich. That is, if he's saying, if we think deeply about the gospel and who our God is, if we meditate on the gospel, we'll grow in the grace of giving as we think about the God that we actually have. Notice what Paul does not do. He does not paint pictures about how they are suffering in Jerusalem. He doesn't talk about the poverty and the lack of food they have. That's not his tactic. He doesn't refer to it at all. Instead, he refers to the gospel. Let's look at the verse again. "You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich. This is why you should give to the people who are hurting." Now, unfortunately, most of us don't give because we've thought deeply about the gospel. Thinking deeply about the gospel is difficult and it's complex. Most of us give because we are responding to, let me call it, a moralistic appeal. A moralistic appeal would go like this. There's a lot of needs in the world. And I could just list all kinds of social justice situations. A lot of poverty. And I could put pictures on the screen. A lot of poverty in the world. You have resources. You should give. That's a moralistic appeal, because if you give, you will probably feel better about yourself after you give to help the hurting people of the world. Or at Black Hawk, we might say something like this. Blackhawk's budget, such and such, we're not making it. You guys have resources to give to meet that budget. So that's a moralistic appeal. So if you give, you will feel better about yourself because you've helped your church out. Now, even those moralistic appeals are very powerful, it's not really the best thing. And I kind of apologize in advance if you hear that kind of thing at Blackhawk. The best thing is that we should give because we're trying to be like Christ. We're trying to actually follow Christ. And I don't mean in the sense of following him on Twitter or something. I mean that we're actually following him. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, remember? Though he was rich, yet for your sakes being poor. Yeah. Do you guys follow me? If when we give, we're giving primarily so that it makes us feel better, we're subtly putting ourselves above God. We should give because of who God is. That should be the primary thing. Because God is a giving God. And God's generous. And Christ is generous. Oh my gosh, I'm following them. I should give. Like that. And it may make us feel better. That's great. And it gives us joy. That's awesome. That's good. And Jesus says it's more blessed to give than receive. That's great. But the core of it is that as a Christ follower, our giving should be an effect of the gospel. I don't know if I explained that very well. It's a little deep. But I'm trying to get to the core of why should we give. We should give because we say we're following Christ. He's a giving person. The last verse that I put on the screen earlier was from the chapter next to it. Paul continues to write to the Corinthians. "Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver." So you shouldn't give because you're feeling compelled to give or you're feeling guilt-motivated to give. That's not a good reason to give. Anytime somebody's up here making you feel guilty, just Don't give, okay? That's not a good reason to give. You should give because you want to give. You should give freely and joyfully. That's one of the reasons that we don't have, like, we don't pass, like, an offering plate or basket at Black Hawk Church. And I'm not trying to diss churches that do that. There are good reasons to pass an offering plate because it's a part of the worship service itself, and giving should become a part of our worship. But something else can also happen, doesn't have to happen, but can also happen, is that people feel compelled to give because of the peer pressure that's happening around them. And they may not have intended to give at all, and then all of a sudden they feel like people are watching them, so they give. It's a compulsory act, not something that's joyful and free. So we have these boxes in all of our venues and all of our sites at the end, and it's kind of incumbent upon you to kind of remember. You can give online, that kind of thing. We're just kind of against the idea of any kind of compulsory kind of giving. How you guys doing? It's really quiet in here. How you guys doing that? I just is against it. Generous people should give freely and liberally. They just like, how can I give around here? That kind of thing. They just ask that question. Some people say, when I talk about giving, they come up to me and they say, well, Pastor Chris, you should talk about tithing. Tithing is biblical. Isn't tithing biblical? Yes, it is biblical. Like sacrificing animals on an altar is biblical. And like not eating pork is biblical. So if you've had a ham sandwich recently, and we don't sacrifice animals on an altar. What I'm saying is that it's a part of another system, an older system that is done away now. The verses that establish tithing in the Bible are found in the Torah. Here are the verses. Leviticus 27, Numbers 18, Deuteronomy 14. I talk about them a lot in my little booklet because people just instantly go to tithing. If you look and study those passages, you'd notice that the tithing is really adds up to not 10%, but more like 23% of an Israelite's annual income. When the Apostle Paul was appealing to the church to be generous, he never ever refers to tithing. Why? Because he's a rabbi by training. He's a Jewish guy. He knows what a tithe is. He never refers to the verse. He refers to things like give generously. Here's some verses. Paul writes, now about the collection for the Lord's people, do what I told the Galatian churches to do. On the first day of every week, each one of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with your income, saving it up so that when I come, no collections will have to be made. Look at that last sentence. He was very concerned. He didn't want collections to be made when he showed up because he wanted to be free, that kind of a thing. Another verse. This is the verse we looked at. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give. Not reluctantly or under compulsion. Tithing is a tax. They weren't deciding in their heart. It was a tax that they were paying, like the temple system. God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. Now, I get the reason people talk about tithing is because the word tithe means a tenth. And it's very simple to talk about giving in terms of, like, giving a 10%. But when we hear Blackhawk talk about, like, that kind of thing, it's not the same as a tithe. A tithe was compulsory, and it was a tax. Sometimes at Blackhawk, when we talk about giving, we talk about something that my wife and I have been doing for a long time, and we just simply call it 10-10. 80, so again, it's like 10%, 10%, and then 80%. So I have 10 $1 bills that my wife let me bring today from my... So, you know, is it like that in your house? I have to ask for money, that kind of a thing. So she let me have these 10. I'm so happy about that. So 10, 10, 80 would look like this. The first 10%, like this would be $1 out of 10, we give to the Lord's work. In just in round numbers. The second 10, then, give to saving. Proverbs 6, wisdom of the ant, so you save. And then the other 8, you live on, right there. You live on that. I know that's complicated. Let me do that again. So this is money that we have. It's the Lord's money. All of this is his money. Psalm 24, 1, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. It all belongs to him. So he's given us this money to steward, and I give 10 to him. I save 10 because he tells me to get ready for a rainy day because the rain's coming. And then I live on 8. So give, save, live. America does exactly the opposite. America's about living, and then if you have any left over, maybe save a little bit, and then probably don't have anything after that, and you give whatever crumbs that you give, that kind of thing. The Bible's completely the opposite of that. Now let's say that you give these $10. Let's say that you give them to Black Hawk Church. What happens to those $10? Well, here's a little chart that explains that. Where's your $10 go? Well, 4 of that 10 goes to ministry. So that means like the salaries of, you know, we have like over 70 people on staff, full and part-time. So it goes to that, goes to anything that's resulted in any kind of ministry at all. Anything that we do ministry-wise, it goes to that. 2 of the dollars goes outside our walls, the kingdom initiatives that are happening locally and globally. So we support a whole bunch of missionaries. We're locked in with all kinds of international organizations, and so we try to be generous with that. So this, if you give 10 of your dollars, 2 goes outside the walls of Black Hawk Church. And then another 2 goes to facilities and support. So the heat that you're experiencing right now and the mortgage, not the mortgage, but rent on the facilities at the majestic downtown Savannah Oaks Middle School, that kind of thing. And then the other 2 goes to pay the debt service down. So this we owe on this. When we built this, is the whole project here is roughly about $30 million project. We've been paying down on that for a long time. We owe something like 10 or 11 on this place now. We pay about $1.1 million a year. We're trying to pay down this debt. That's where the $10 goes. Now, you notice that we give 2 outside the walls of Black Hawk Church of the 10 that you give. But even above that, we have one offering during the year called the Advent Conspiracy Offering. And that only happens once a year. And every penny of that goes outside the walls of Black Hawk Church. This year, the offering was something like $460,000 or something like that. And that money goes outside the walls of Black Hawk Church. And I can't think of a more perfect picture, a more perfect picture of it's more blessed to give than to receive, than when we hear about what the Advent Conspiracy money is doing, both globally and locally. When you hear what our partners say, you go, awesome. It is more blessed to give than receive. Watch this.
Thank you, Black Hawk community, for your generosity. Through your Advent Conspiracy efforts, MSCR will be able to put books not only in the hands of our students, but in their homes as well. The books will be theirs, providing a sense of pride and ownership that fuels the desire to read and ultimately increases their academic success. Great job, Black Hawk, and thank you.
Hello, friends from Black Hawk Church. I want you to know that because of your generosity during your Advent Conspiracy, we're able to really live out some of the dreams that we've had for our Nehemiah ACE program. Currently, that program's only operated during the summer, and we thought to ourselves that if we can operate that throughout the year and interact with kids and their families, we can help to close the achievement gap in their lives. We really do appreciate your generosity and your concern for what's happening in the body of Christ across the city.
I could say thank you, thank you, thank you many times. But who am I to thank you? Let me tell you what the students will say. Muchas gracias. Gracias because with your support, I'm able to come to school Gracias because for your with your support, I'm able to learn English. I'm able to have a job. That's what our students will say. So many, many, many thank you, to your family, to your community. Because of your generosity, you were able to make it happen. You were able to send students to school, and best of all, you were able to make people feel like human beings, like really children of God. Thank you.